This is week three, class number four, dreams and visions. Let's pick up here in the outline, caffeine in the body, how caffeine disrupts sleep. There's a chemical that is created in the brain. It's called adenosine. And adenosine binds to nerve receptors in the brain's nerve cells. And what adenosine does is slow down the nerve cell activity in the brain, causing drowsiness, which leads to proper sleep. Now, caffeine looks like adenosine to a nerve cell, and therefore the nerve cell receptors latch on to caffeine. So it kind of goes like this. You know, here you have these nerve cell receptors in your brain, and they're looking for adenosine that they can latch on to, and all of a sudden, here comes caffeine. Well, the nerve cell looks at the caffeine and says, oh, look, there's some adenosine. Come here, boy. And the caffeine comes over and boom, latches on. Well, once it latches on, that's it. There is no unlatching. It latches on and the nerve cell begins drawing from that caffeine. And the caffeine naturally begins serving the nerve cell. Well, by then it's too late. And all of a sudden the nerve cell says, whoa, wait a minute, what's going on here? We're supposed to be going to bed now, but gee, you know, you're not acting like all the adenosine I've ever met before in my life, but nevertheless, I'm going to go with it because I don't know how to do anything else. So, what do you want me to do, caffeine? And the caffeine says, well, I'm glad you asked. We're going to party. And so the caffeine begins to stimulate the nerve cell to work. It's like the nerve cell has now suddenly enrolled in an aerobics class, and it can't stop. It's jumping and hopping. And increased neuron activity begins in the brain. So it's like it sets off this chain reaction and stuff starts happening and signals start getting sent to different areas of the body. The pituitary gland hears the party and senses all of this action and it interprets it that there's some kind of an emergency going on. Like, oh my goodness, what's happening? We're supposed to be sleeping, but we're not sleeping. Instead, gee whiz, look at all this stuff. Something bad must be going on. Gee, I wish I could see outside this body, but I can't. And so what I'm going to do is what I'm designed to do. I'm going to send in some reinforcements. So the pituitary gland instructs the adrenal glands to produce adrenaline. Then the adrenaline says, oh boy, the adrenaline is like calling out the cavalry, okay? It's like, charge! So the adrenaline starts surging through the body, and when it does, it causes the breathing tubes to dilate, the pupils begin to dilate, your blood pressure begins to rise, the muscles begin to tighten, the liver begins to release sugar into the bloodstream for extra energy, and the blood flow to the stomach is reduced, which causes further problems if you've eaten a lot. So in other words, now all of a sudden, you have this adrenaline charging through the body, and it says, hey, what do you think you're doing, stomach? You don't need all this blood. You don't need all this energy. There's something happening elsewhere that's more important. So we're going to shut down your resources. We're going to shut down your supplies. What's that you say? You have food you're trying to digest? Who cares? We've got other things to do right now. So you just wait until we're done. Then you can have the blood and the energy and all that you need to digest this food. So there you are. Your body is asleep, but yet turmoil is going on all over the place. And your stomach is saying, but wait a minute. I don't like this. I got all this food down here. What am I going to do? It's rotting on the inside of me. I need some help. And the rest of the body is saying, too bad. We're busy right now. We'll get back to you when things settle down. So this food stays in. Now, it doesn't stop the digestive process completely, but it slows it down tremendously. That's another reason why you can wake up in the morning feeling absolutely horrible if the food hasn't been able to digest properly in your stomach. And so here you are, you're trying to sleep, and all this stuff is going on, and the brain, you know, it only goes with what you give it, and so it doesn't know any better. Therefore, it cannot go through the normal sleep process. Now, I'm not saying that even a small amount of caffeine will do this. But the more caffeine, the more this process happens. And that's why some people, if they were to just wean themselves off of caffeine, you know, some folks actually go through withdrawal that's very similar. It's a mild form of what happens to like a heroin addict. When they come off of heroin, there are some people that when they come off of caffeine go through withdrawal symptoms. And so they have to be weaned off. You know, if you're 8 cups a day, you cut it back to about 6 and then cut it back, you know, to 4 the next couple of weeks until you get down to 0. But some people will notice a dramatic increase in their ability to have good sleep if they severely reduce or eliminate the amount of caffeine that they're taking in at night. Also, caffeine is a diuretic. It stimulates the production of urine, which can cause you to wake up throughout the night and go to the bathroom over and over again. And so therefore, laying off the caffeine is going to help you. And then right along with that, I mean, a lot of people don't know this. Some do, but if women find lumps in their breast, one of the things doctors will tell them or ask them, you know, do you drink a lot of coffee, caffeine? Because caffeine can cause fibrous cysts in the breast. And by themselves, they're not a major problem, but they could become a problem if the caffeine isn't reduced. And what a lot of women have testified that when they eliminated the caffeine, the cysts went away. They were completely gone. Now, we're not talking cancerous lumps. We're talking about fibrous cysts. Most lumps in women's breasts, their fibrous cysts are smaller. They're not really big lumps. They're smaller little lumps, but they can be sensitive and can cause pain and so forth when, you know, pressed and all that. But nevertheless, many times women notice that all of those go away if they reduce or eliminate the caffeine. Now, additionally, we're talking here about the physical thing, what you can do. Taking a hot bath or shower will help you to relax. This is especially true if you've had a very trying day. Aromatherapy bath oils or salts can help, and aromatherapy lotion soaps are beneficial because not only is the aromatherapy there, but also as a lotion soap, whether it's the liquid kind that you squeeze or it's a bar, it does add moisture to your body, because one of the worst things in the world, especially in the wintertime, is to try and go to sleep when your skin's dry and itchy. You ever been there? Ugh. So these kind of things can help out. Now let's talk about waking up. We're talking in this particular section, we're talking about what's conducive to receiving spiritual dreams. Now we're talking about the waking up part of it. A blaring alarm clock is absolutely not the way to be awakened each morning. Instantaneous loud noise in the morning inhibits your ability to remember dreams. Have you ever been dreaming and all of a sudden the alarm clock, blammo, comes on, and it was a dream you were really enjoying and you were furious because the alarm clock went off? Well, what happens is the alarm clock, think of it this way. Has anybody ever come up behind you and boo, your heart starts pounding and all this other, and it causes your body to react in many different ways. You know, the adrenaline thing and all this other one. Anyhow, that same thing happens when the alarm clock goes off, whether it's buzzer or the radio, when there it is to wake you up in the morning. That interrupts the entire sleep process in a way that it shouldn't be interrupted. And it greatly reduces your ability to remember the dreams that you were having. A radio or a CD alarm clock playing soft music that gradually increases in volume is considered the best way to be awakened in the morning. In fact, I know that you can purchase these. I don't know how widespread they are, but I have seen them advertised cost-wise. I've seen some that were like over $100. But I'm sure there are many out there that are cheaper. And basically what they do is the same thing as a regular alarm clock. It's just that in the morning when it goes off, it, very slowly, the volume increases just over a period of a minute or two or something like that to whatever volume you've got it set. And what that does, it's really interesting. You're focusing on whatever is happening while you're asleep. But then all of a sudden, you're getting this increasing level of music, and your ears are starting to pick up on this, and it's beginning to divert your attention away from the sleep to the external stimuli. But because it's a gradual process, whatever you were dreaming at that moment or dreams that you've had tend to stay with you a lot more than what they would if, boom, you just wake up with that loud noise. Also, there are lamps that you can purchase that can be set on a timer. And this is more along the line if you don't have sunlight coming into your room or whatever. But these lamps are like alarm lamps. You set them on a timer, and they can be timed to come on at the same time your alarm clock comes on. But what happens, instead of just coming on, it's like a dimmer switch. They gradually get brighter and brighter and brighter. And some of them have a light bulb that is, I don't know what the official term is, but it's like natural light, or it's like natural sunlight. It's not fluorescent light. It's not pure incandescent light. It's like the full light spectrum. So it's natural as that light is coming on. And there are scientific studies that seem to indicate that particular type of light is better to wake up to than other lights. So these are things that you can buy, but what we're focusing in is on right now is the best way to remember your dreams when you wake up in the morning. Lay in bed for an extra 5 to 15 minutes. Meditate. You say, well, you know, I get up as soon as the alarm goes off. Well, maybe set it a little bit earlier. Meditate on what you were thinking or dreaming when you're waking up. The more you think about your dreams, the more details you may recall. Now, this is really, really important when it comes to remembering your dreams. So, you know, there are some people that are extremely fanatical about this. The most fanatical people that I have ever heard of when it comes to all this stuff we're talking about here tonight aren't even Christians. They're into the New Age stuff and all this other. But again, it goes back to what we covered, I think, the first night, how that the body of Christ has lagged behind in understanding these things, even though there's so much about it in Scripture. Keep a small tape recorder or pen or pencil and notepad near your bed. As most people know, remembering dreams can be a challenge. Look in Psalm 73. Verse 20 says, "As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image." Now, let me just kind of paraphrase this verse within the context of what's being written here in this 73rd Psalm. He's saying, just like people have a hard time remembering dreams when they wake up, God, I know you are going to remove from your mind the conscious thinking of all these bad things they've done. All right? Now, that's a very simplistic explanation, but it kind of helps you to get the image. Have you ever had a dream where, or you've awakened and you know that you had a dream, but it's like you can't remember what it was? You know you had a dream. Maybe you can remember smidgens of it, and you know that there's probably a good reason that I should remember this, but I just can't seem to remember this dream. Well, that's very, very frustrating. Well, we've described what can help you create an atmosphere that's more conducive to remember the dream when you wake up. But when you wake up, lay there and try to meditate on what you were thinking or dreaming. Write down or speak into the recorder what you remember of your dream. And if you only record it, transcribe it later, because this is really important. The written form of your dream is the best, because it's just like Scripture. You know, it's okay, yeah, you can listen to it on tape, but reading it, you know, there's just something special about actually reading it. Same way with your dreams. Review your dream later. It also helps to pray in the Spirit as you do this, enabling the Holy Spirit to help you recall more about your dream. Now, I can tell you from experience that this really, really works. You write down what you remember. Then you can go back to it later. You sit there. You pray in tongues. You say, help me remember this, Holy Spirit. You pray in tongues and you're thinking about this dream. You're reading what you've written. Then all of a sudden, it's like more starts coming back. More and more starts coming back. Well, when it does, write these things that come back in the context or in the order in which they happened. Now, if you do this on a computer, it's a whole lot easier because, you know, you can just click and start typing, you know, right there in the middle of stuff and insert the things that need to be inserted. But it's amazing how much you can remember when you go back and you read it again and you're praying in the Spirit. It's like these things start coming back, more and more details. And you could go back and review a dream more than once And more details will keep coming back and keep coming back until eventually you could end up from the whole dream from start to finish and everything about it. Now let's start talking about interpreting dreams. We've done what we can to create an atmosphere that's good and conducive for having a spiritual dream and receiving from God, waking up, remembering the dream, and all, and so on and so forth it goes. We understand about writing the dream down. We understand about keeping the record of the dream. And I do encourage you to do this. One of the things that you may find is that when it comes to interpreting a dream, you may not get the interpretation for quite a while. There was one dream I'm going to share with you next week. The dream was so vivid and so real and so spiritual, but it was probably about 16 years before I finally got the interpretation. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be like that for everybody, and I'm not saying that God withheld the interpretation. I maybe just was too dense to receive it. I don't know. But I finally got the interpretation about 15 or 16 years later, and I'll share it with you next week. But writing the dream down is tremendously helpful to getting that interpretation, especially if the interpretation does not come quickly. All dreams have meaning, but not all meanings are relevant. Now, let's kind of explain this. Some dreams are a result of drugs, alcohol, food, etc. These dreams can be totally absurd. We've all had them. But their absurdity does not indicate no meaning. Examples. A dream of monsters may be a compilation of past movies you've seen. Now, I can remember there have been times for me when I've had dreams that just seemed to make absolutely no sense whatsoever. And I'm thinking about this. It's like, why in the world did I have that dream? Where did that come from? And then it's like the Lord shows me. Well, you watch such and such movie and think about your dream and compare it to the movie. It's like, oh, okay, my dream is a variation of what I saw happen in that dream. There's a connection between that. So there may be absolutely no spiritual relevance whatsoever. It's motivated by other events. A dream of certain people may be due to meeting them earlier in the day. You know, why in the world did I, you know, think about that? Or why in the world did I dream about that person? Well, it's because you were talking about them at lunch today. And so, okay, it carried over into your dream. It was, you know, something that your brain pulled out. Is there spiritual relevance or not? Well, there might be, but it's very possible that it's just because you saw them earlier in the day. A dream that is just plain goofy may be a result of what you've ingested and how it's affecting your brain. However, absurd dreams are not always irrelevant. Therefore, do not make it a habit of totally dismissing them. Even if it's the dumbest, goofiest, craziest, there is no way this is anything other than a pizza dream. Still, give yourself the benefit of the doubt and say, all right, I think it's a pizza dream, but it could be a spiritual dream. Now, God, I need you to help me to understand this. Now, I've done that before. Now, let me just interject this. Sometimes when you ask God about a dream, you may not get the answer right then and there. For whatever reason, He may not want you to have the interpretation at that moment. I don't know. But what I'm getting at is, we don't want to establish hard, fast rules for every single dream that we have, every single spiritual dream that we have. We don't want to establish hard, fast rules to say, well, this is the way it's going to be every single time. It won't be like this every single time. Now, with that in mind, let's kind of keep going here. Over time, you will be able to discern between relevant and irrelevant dreams. But it's going to take some work on your part. And it's just a matter of coming to a greater understanding about dreams and interpretation. Now, symbolism will dominate practically all of your dreams. Rarely are dreams as clear as the one Joseph had in Matthew 1:18-25. Now, that's where Joseph, he knew Mary was pregnant, and he was thinking about, you know, separating the relationship, and the angel appeared to him in a dream, and he says, now, Joseph, don't do this. This thing's of God. You're going to name the baby Jesus, and so forth. I mean, that was clear. Boy, I wish all dreams were that clear, don't you? But they're not. Generally, all dreams are going to, I'll be honest with you, I don't know that I've ever had a dream in my life that was that clear. I really like the one Joseph had. I don't know that I've ever had one that clear. Nearly all of our dreams are going to contain pure symbolism. And some of it would be very obvious. You're going to wake up and say, well, I know what that was about. But many, if not most all of the dreams, is going to take some interpretation and some thought and even prayer. Symbolism in dreams is very important. It's similar to how Jesus ministered. Now turn to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Let's just read, first off, verses 10 through 13. And when the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore, speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. Now, we're not going to get into the explanation of this passage, but I just wanted to use it to illustrate. Jump over to verse 34. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Now, where it says, I'll utter things secret from the foundation of the world, you don't have to turn to it right now, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul talks about we preach and teach the mysteries of God, the hidden mysteries, the secret things, which before were kept secret, but now, you know, have been revealed unto us for our glory. The Spirit of the Lord explains these things to us, and so on and so forth. So here in this, where it says, I will utter things that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. One way to look at this would be, I, Jesus, am going to teach to you principles about the kingdom of God. The problem is, nobody, since the fall of Adam, has lived in the kingdom of God except me. I'm the only one with the life and nature of God qualified to be a part of that kingdom. But because of the work I'm doing here on earth, my death and resurrection is going to make it possible for you to be born again and be translated into this kingdom. You'll become citizens of the kingdom of God because of your spiritual birth. Now, you don't understand these things about the kingdom right now because you still have a sin nature. But what I'm going to do while I'm here with you is teach you things about the kingdom so that when I'm gone, at least you'll have something to start with until you start relying on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to teach these things to you in parables. Okay, now, remember all these different parables that he taught. They were picture stories, more or less. Now turn over to John chapter 14. Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit, and he says in verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Verse 26, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Now let's stop for a moment. Before the Holy Spirit came, Jesus was the comforter. He said he's going to send you another comforter. In other words, he's saying he's going to send somebody that's going to take my place. While Jesus was here, he was teaching the people in parables about the kingdom of God because they didn't have a spirit that was capable of receiving direct teaching from the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, look, I'm going to teach you in parables. But when I'm gone, there is somebody who's coming in after me, the Holy Spirit. Now, when he gets here, he's going to pick up where I left off. And he will continue to teach you things about the kingdom of God. But not only that, he will remind you of the things I have said. And he will guide you into all truth. Now, another way we could say that is, he will guide you into the truth, into the understanding of the things that I have taught to this point. so you will understand. Now, here's what's interesting. If you read in certain places here in the Scriptures, in the Gospels, there are like two or three places where it talks about how that it's telling something that happened, and then it kind of jumps ahead talking about the disciples remembered what he said and understood what he meant. And it's talking about a time after Jesus was gone and they were ministering. Oh, they remembered what he said. Now they understand what he was talking about. Okay? Well, that's kind of what this is referring to here. So the Holy Spirit, he's going to help people understand what Jesus said. Jesus taught in parables, and the Holy Spirit's going to help people understand what these parables mean. Now let's take a look at an example. Turn over to Mark chapter 4. Symbolism in dreams is something like a parable. It's almost, really, almost identical to a parable. In Mark chapter 4, if you begin reading here in verse 1, he began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them. Now let's stop right here. I want you to continue reading in your Bible, but I am going to paraphrase this relative to this course, okay? Hearken, behold, I had a dream last night, and in this dream there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up, and some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, Gee whiz, I sure wish somebody would help me understand this dream. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 came to him and said, Jesus, if you want to know the mystery of this dream, you need to understand it's got something to do with the kingdom of God. But this dream is like a parable to you. Now jump over to verse 13. Jesus, if you want the interpretation, God can help you get to the interpretation. And Jesus prayed and asked the Father, Oh Father, help me understand this dream. And the Father said unto Jesus, Know you not the understanding of this dream? Well, how then will you understand all dreams? Here, Jesus, Son, I'm going to give thee the interpretation of this dream. The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Can you see the analogy in this? Can you see how that really, this parable that he first started teaching, from verses 3 until 9, does this not describe some of the dreams that we've had? I don't mean these exact details, but the symbolism that's in, that is in dreams. Hard to understand. Now, what if you had had a dream like this? Would you not wonder, what in the world does this mean? Here's some guy walking along a road sowing seed. Then all of a sudden, here come these birds. And then here comes some. It jumps up, but the sun comes out and it wilts and all this other. What in the world does this dream mean? Well, the Lord has the ability to help you understand. But if you notice, not only did Jesus interpret the parable, he interpreted the symbolism in this parable. When we have dreams, our dreams are going to contain tremendous amounts of symbolism. When we begin to understand what the symbolism represents, then we're going to be better able to interpret the dreams. Now, here's what's interesting. Much of the symbolism in dreams is the same whether you're a Christian or not. And that's what's really interesting to me, that I still haven't, in fact, I haven't read anything by anybody, by any scientific research that indicates why this seems to be true. Of course, most of the scientific research has not been done by Christians, so they wouldn't know anyhow. But for some reason, the symbolism in dreams seems to hold true whether the person is a Christian or not a Christian. Now, my personal belief is God has had a hand in this somehow, but I don't even understand that. I just believe that somehow God's been involved, and I don't believe that it's a coincidence that it's like this. It's just too... Now, a lot of it has to do with the society in which we live. When we get into this more, you'll understand. But it's almost as though we are designed mentally, psychologically, to take certain things relative to how we live and where we live and turn those things into symbolism in our dreams. For example, 200 years ago, airplanes didn't exist. Therefore, airplanes would not have been in people's dreams and would have nothing to do with symbolism in their dreams. But today, obviously airplanes exist. Airplanes, buses, things like that, the modes of transportation, have representation in people's dreams. And we'll talk about, you know, what representation later on. But it's interesting how that, whether you're a Christian or not, certain forms of symbolism are going to hold true for everybody. Well, next week what we're going to do, you're going to receive a list of symbols. I know that your book has some, and we're going to give you a printout of some symbols that you can have, and I believe that the list may be a little bit more extensive than what is in your book. And it's going to be really interesting to take a look at that, especially since, you know, what you've read there in the book and so on, and how these things can hold so true. But again, I'll just lay this little bit of a foundation. Every time you have a dream about a basketball. Every time you have a dream about a basketball, it doesn't always mean the same thing. Every time you have a dream about a bus, it doesn't always mean the same thing. So we'll get into that a little bit more next week, and I'll share some dreams that I had, the symbolism in those dreams, and what that symbolism meant, and the interpretation, and so on and so forth. But Father, we want to thank you for your word. We thank you for life. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we thank you for dreams. And again, Father, we just ask you to keep ministering to us in this way, helping us to understand greater and greater about our dreams and what they mean. Help us to come to a place of being better able to interpret our dreams. And Jesus, we give you the glory and the honor for being our Savior. We just love you so much. Now, Father, as we leave this place, by faith, we ask for and receive divine protection. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. See you next time.